And today we got a special guest, Bundy, to start off Fanatic Flyers Weekly, Flyers General Manager Ron Hextall. Do you have questions for him?
Old teammate of mine, so I always have old questions.
Well, we might dip into that at some point here, but we have some more pressing business to get to first and foremost. And Ron, thanks for doing this, first of all.
Pleasure.
And second of all, let's talk about this team and the way they've started the season. It's been a bit erratic. The road trip has certainly helped them, seemingly, and you come back home after that trip in a tough situation against Arizona. Make it difficult on yourself in a particular game standpoint, but to overcome that, maybe is that something that can help build the identity of this club early?
It can. You know, we were kind of looking for our identity early there when we left for the West Coast. No one around here was certainly happy with where we were at nor the way we were playing. We cleaned some things up out there. We got some points. We played well. Sometimes you got to simplify your game, and I think that's what we did. And I think once we got in the third period there against Arizona, like, our second period was not good. It's not good enough. First and third, we're good, but we need to find some consistency here every night. It's hard to win in this league. Everybody's close, but if you play a period like we did in the second period, you're not going to win too many.
Yeah, you make a really good point there, Hexy, and it's something, a word I've heard a lot, whether it was Travis Konecny the other day, Claude Giroux, consistency seems to be the key point. And again, when you guys are high, you can go really high, and it looks like the sky's unlimited, but when you go low, it can make you pay really quick. Is that, that's got to be something that I would assume is addressed regularly to try to make sure that those guys stay away from the big waves and just a little bit, yes, and prepare for more of a hiccup.
Yes, there's going to be times during a game where the other team's coming, and you have to react properly. So when you're talking about kind of being down too far, we get down too far in the second period, and we can't go down that far. We have to maintain a level of consistency where you're not going to be at your best every shift. You want to be, everything else, but some shifts you're not going to have the puck. But you got to keep your composure, and you got to keep your structure in your game. And sometimes we wander a little bit from our structure and our thoughts get going elsewhere, and we need to get better at that.
How do you avoid against the Jekyll and Hyde syndrome that's kind of plagued this team over the past couple of years, where, like you mentioned, you're in a back-to-back situation early last season. St. Louis, the Blues were the best team in the league at the time. You go in there in a back-to-back in a disadvantageous position for you guys. You win that game, but then you came home and you lost to Arizona, I'm talking about last year, who hadn't won a game yet. But so you have this Jekyll and Hyde and that gap in between. How do you avoid to tighten that gap up so you can stay at a high level but keep from playing at that low level on occasion?
It's all of us demanding from each other. You know, we have to be better on a daily basis, on a minutely basis, on a period-by-period basis. Again, we have to avoid the, over the course of 10 games, okay, you might have a couple periods where you go, they're not very good, but you can't have one a game. You're not going to win many games. So you can't have a 10-minute period where you're down. I think, as Chris was alluding to earlier, you're going to come down a little bit where you're not right on it. The other team's going to have the puck, but you can't go down so far that they take charge of the game. They can take control of the game, particularly in our building. We've got to be more assertive at times as a group and demand the puck and get in the forecheck. And when things aren't going good, you got to do something to create some energy. An individual player, a big hit, a forecheck, a puck protection, going to the net hard, a great play in the defensive zone, a composed play. There's lots of things you can do to kind of try to grab that momentum back. And again, we have to be better at that.
Just getting into the lineup, Ron, when you look at some of the guys, one guy it's taken a big step, and the Flyers get lucky last year winning the lottery, get Nolan Patrick. But him and Lindblom really have to be something that you guys have to be excited about. Two young guys that look like they're growing together. And Patrick, by all accounts, looks like his defensive play is right up to snuff. And he has a possibility of being a star, I think, in this league.
Yeah, Patty, a little bit of a... A little bit of a slow start. I think certainly statistically there were games where he was solid two-way, and that's the nice thing about his game. He's got a foundation defensively where he's not going to hurt you. Now, as we've seen recently, when he adds the offensive part, you got a pretty darn good player and a big piece of our team. So we can't expect Giroux and Voracek and Couturier, Simmons to carry us every game. And part of the plan here is getting the young players, and as they grow a little bit, they take a little bit bigger piece of the pie. We get deeper. We become a much better team. And hopefully we're seeing the start of that evolution right now.
Yeah, let's talk about a couple other guys, because you've gotten some pretty good secondary scoring that evidenced the other night against Arizona. Scott Laughton picks up two goals in that game. You've kind of spread it around. You see different names on the score sheet, particularly while things have been going well here over the past week or so. But let's talk about a guy like Travis Sanheim, who is with the big club, makes the club out of camp, has been pretty consistent for a young defenseman. Assess his play and the D play overall of the young guys.
Yeah, I think Travis has gotten better. He had the injury there early, but he's gotten better as the year's gone along. His history is he's a quick study. He's a quick learner, and he can improve immensely in 2, 3 months, 4 months, a year. So we look for Travis to continue in his uphill climb. We believe he's going to be a very good player in this league for a long time. We're excited about what he's done. But as you mentioned before, when you're getting efforts from Scott Laughton and Travis Sanheim and Dale Weiss and these types of guys that aren't necessarily, you look at them as maybe your go-to guys, but you're getting production from them is when you become a really good team. And quite frankly, the consistency will be better once deeper in our lineup we start getting contributions, which we have lately.
Actually, I like something you said, and it goes back to your day and probably caught me at the end of my career, but you talked about doing something energy-wise, whether it be physical hit or physical play. My concern watching the game now from low level at one time to where I am now is that the physicality in the league has gone down. It feels sometimes like every big hit is subject to review. Is that something that you'd like to see more of, allowing a little bit more physicality back in this league? Because we really don't see it at the level we did years ago. I know they're trying to protect head injuries, but I think there's got to be a fine line, because that seems to be what drives a lot of fans and a lot of fans in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the culture of our game. It's part of our game. Our athletes are extremely tough, as you know. They go through a lot, but that's what we love about them. They battle through. They're warriors. They're tough guys. They're not military, for sure. Those guys are the toughest, but when I look at athletes, I think our guys are right up there with the toughest athletes, and I hope it continues. I think there's a point right now, yes, there's a little bit of an emphasis, obviously, on head injuries. No one wants to see anybody get hurt, any type of an injury, but obviously we're all sensitive to head injuries, and hopefully as we move along here, we find the sweet spot.
We're talking with Ron Hextall on the Fanatic Flyers Weekly Show, Chris Terry and Jason Martinez. Ron, one of the things that I'm sure has been a pretty decent source of frustration for you, and it goes back to injuries. You know, you lose JVR in the second game of the season, your prize free agent acquisition. Those things happen, but Michael Neuwirth's a guy that keeps battling, and it's unbelievable how often he gets bitten by the injury bug. Talk about first JVR and where he is in his recovery, and then B, how Michael Neuwirth's able to move forward and get some contributions to this lineup.
Yeah, JVR's he's doing well. He's practicing with the team, and we expect him back in the near future here. So he'll be a nice addition to our team, obviously. Michael, you know, Michael's had a tough run here, and Michael's got to prove to us that he can stay healthy. He's a very good goaltender. He's extremely talented, and as we've seen at times, he can dominate a game and win a game for you. But he's got to prove certainly that he can stay healthy.
And you mentioned Michael Raffel with a winger. Another winger that's probably been a lot of talk now for a year, Hexy, is Wayne Simmonds. Is there anything that you can give us in terms of him trying to renegotiate or contract situation for Wayne moving forward with you guys? Obviously, he's a guy that's an important part of this team.
Yeah, he's an important part, and we'd like to keep Wayne, whether we can or not, quite frankly, at this point. I don't know. We'll continue to chip away at it, but I don't have anything new to report at this time.
Yeah, one of those situations where you get into the season and it becomes a distraction, and that's the last thing you need. But one of the areas of frustration, I'm going to stay on the frustration theme for a second, has been the penalty kill for this team. And, you know, this year it's been paramount again, just giving up way too many kills in games throughout the season. They've had some timely kills, at least particularly over the past 2 weeks, a 5-on-3 on the road and those kind of things. But what is the issue on the penalty kill, a personnel issue? Is it a scheme issue, or is it some combination of the two?
Well, it's never one thing. It's a problem that we continue to address pretty much on a daily basis, and we will continue to address on a daily basis until we get it right. Can you say it's personnel? I think we have some pretty good penalty killers. Do I look at our team and say we have the best penalty killers in the league? Some of our defensemen are a little bit younger. I don't know that I can say that, but we feel like we have enough guys on our team that are capable of killing penalties. could we use an upgrade there? Yeah, we'd love to upgrade there. We've certainly tried. In terms of tactically, the one thing I will say is there's times where visually our penalty killing has been better. I think our up-ice pressure has been better. Some of our angles have been better. Unfortunately, the numbers don't show, and in the end, that's what matters. And we've got a lot of work to do, and we have to improve it. It's our power play is the same. Our power play is not good enough right now. Special teams are a big part of the game right now, and right now ours aren't good enough.
One of the things and you hear or see, can the penalty kill be more aggressive in the zone? That seems to be where they get caught the most, whether it's an outside shot, somebody in front, because it doesn't, again, going back to the physical part, you can't move anybody anymore like the old days. You can't sit there, get lumber on your stick, and then forcing a guy away from the net. But it does seem like there's a chance at times for it to be more aggressive.
Yeah, that's a read by the players. If someone's going back to you, if they're bobbling the puck, but if a guy's facing you, he's gonna rip you apart if you go at him. That's what they want. They want to create space, so all of a sudden you get aggressive and you go at him and he pops it through to a guy that's all by himself for a perfect opportunity. So it's a rock and a hard place. We want to be more aggressive. I believe we have to be more aggressive, but you got to pick your spots.
And obviously the net front presence is a lot different than it's ever been and making it harder for goaltenders to track pucks. Ron, let's talk about your head coach, Dave Hakstol. When things go bad in this town, we know where the narrative always goes. Oh, let's get rid of the coach. It's the easy thing, and I always say, if not him, who? But let's talk about Dave Hakstol now in his fourth year. Kind of give your assessment of the coaching staff, how they've done this year, how they've maybe kept this thing together to go on the road and hopefully turn things around long term, and how you see this kind of developing throughout the season.
Well, we evaluate everything on a day-to-day basis. Every player, obviously the coaches, myself, our personnel, what's out there in terms of trade possibilities and everything else. So we're continually evaluating. Hack and I talk a lot about our penalty kill, about our power play, about our personnel. Coaches are down there meeting every day on different things. So I think when you look at our coaches, like we got some young players in our lineup that have been assimilated well into our lineup. They're playing big roles for us at this point, and I think most of our young players have continued to grow and get better, and that's certainly one of the assessments of the coach. How well are our young players doing? And you look at, Ghost and Provery and Sanheim and Oscar Lindblom and Patty, Travis Konecny, they're all making strides, and that's part of the evaluation. I think Hack's done a good job in saying that. We are where we are, and we all need to do a better job.
When you look at, kind of a twirl through the mind of a GM, it seems a lot harder now to make moves, and I guess I would assume the salary cap has something to do with that. That said, if there's one area that you'd like to improve on or you can improve on, what would it be, and how difficult can it be to make those kind of moves to get, maybe you talk about trades through the course of a year?
Yeah, it is difficult. There's no question the salary cap has made it extremely difficult. You might find a team that wants to do something, but you don't have a fit. So there might be five teams that want to do something. The chances of you having a fit are not great. So you got to continue to plug away at it. It's got to fit for both teams. It's got to fit financially, cap-wise, and it's got to fit player-wise. Some team might want to move a forward for a forward. Well, some other team might want to move a forward for a deal. Well, we don't fit. And then even if you do fit, how's the money come in? How's the cap come in? So it is difficult. I think more and more we're seeing trades made around the draft, and then obviously the free agent signings, and other than that, it is hard. In saying that, we continue to talk like every other team in the league and see if we can make our team better. The problem is if you trade this position, you create a hole there to fill another hole. It's like you're the dike. You want to plug the whole dike, and it's kind of why we went to the draft and developed philosophy, because you want to become as good a team as you can become without having holes. So, we all have minor holes that we'd love to, fix. You'd love to have a veteran defenseman maybe that's a really sound defender. You'd love to have a guy that can score, 40 goals. But these guys don't grow on trees, and as I said, you open up one hole to fill another.
We're talking with General Manager Ron Hextall. Yeah, it's rare that a team wants to trade away a guy that can score 40 and a veteran defenseman. But that being said, you put yourself in a position financially where you haven't been in a long time. You enter the building today with handcuffs off and over $10 million in current cap space. But you have a consideration because you have some guys coming up in Provorov and Konecny. So when you're balancing that, as you're looking maybe to improve your roster in your club, Do you look for players more on short-term deals, or are you looking for a long-term fix when you're thinking, making that consideration, or is that a player-by-player evaluation?
It's a player-by-player evaluation. Obviously, it depends on age and fit and what we have coming in that position. And the one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to box your kids out when they're ready to make an impact. You don't want to box your kids out. So all of a sudden, you trade for a couple guys, and now you get two players that are with the Phantoms or coming out of junior next year that are ready to play, and we don't have room for them. So it's a tough juggling act, quite frankly. There's a lot of thought process and studying that goes into it, and in the end, you go with your gut and try and make the right decisions.
You have Nicholas Obey-Kubel. It took me a while to get that name down, as it did for a lot of people, because everyone was trying to wonder how to say it.
Just call him Q.
Q. We're just going to go with Q. And, you know, he's done a good job in limited minutes up here. Is there... when you look at the Phantoms, it's obviously, for you guys, it's a depth position from your players from the top calendar or the top of the lineup down. But how do you look at it? And are there other players down there that you feel could come up and play just as well as Q has played in his time here?
Yeah, there certainly are some other players. I saw the game last night, and Vorobyev was really good, and Rubasov was really good, and the best game I've seen Phil Myers play, and Mark Friedman. So David Kase played well. So they're all at different points, and certainly in their development. And the wrong injury, whatever, is what dictates kind of what you bring up. But in terms of Obey-Kubel, we felt like we needed some energy. We needed a guy that probably wasn't going to play a ton of minutes when you look at our top nine, the way that some of the guys are playing. I mean, Dale Weiss is playing well, and, you know, Simmer certainly made an impact on the road trip. And so where's a guy going to play who fits into that hole? And Nick was the guy. He's played well. He hasn't played a lot. You know, Hack would like to get him more ice time, but sometimes the game dictates that, and his two line mates are killing penalties, so he's not killing penalties. That takes a chunk of his ice time, so it's hard to find him ice time. But Nick is over 2 years into the minor league stuff. The first year, quite frankly, he wasn't very good. Last year, he took a huge step, maybe two, became a very good player, much more consistent, much more reliable. This year he continued on, so not as concerned about his low minutes given his time in the minors. Now, in saying that, we'd all like to see him play a few more minutes, but I like what he's done, has created some energy, and he's been a responsible player, which Nick's been an offensive player his whole life. It's not always easy to transition into that role. Matter of fact, most guys like him can't play in that type of a role, so take my hat off and give him credit for the job he's done.
And one of the guys that's kind of found himself in that role is Scott Laughton, and it take a few years for him to kind of fall into that. But, Ron, let's talk about Carter Hart, because, as you mentioned, you saw the game last night, and, you know, maybe his numbers aren't great, but maybe they're not indicative of the way he's playing. Assess what you've seen out of Carter Hart with the Phantoms and the limited amount that you've been able to catch him this year.
Yeah, he's in a transition period right now. I've seen him play three or four times. First couple games, I mean, it was very early in his American League career, and there was an adjustment to make. What I like about him is game one, there's a couple things that our goalie coach Brady Robinson saw. So that was a Friday night, and I saw him the next Friday, and he made the appropriate adjustments right away, staying on his feet longer and being a little bit more patient. Last night he played a solid game. He didn't have much work. The one goal he probably want to have back, but the other goal he didn't have a chance on. He made some good saves, but I think more we're looking for, like, he's moving well, his positioning, his reads. So he's doing a lot of good things, and he's coming along.
Hexy, this is last for me here, but is this, when you're looking at the standings, especially the Metro, do you feel this is the kind of year that you guys can, certainly being first in division would be reachable? It sure seems like there's a lot of teams that look are pretty close together, hemmed together.
It's close right now. Like, I always like to let our play dictate kind of where we be, rather than I've always felt like talk is cheap. And, you know, are we capable of winning a lot of games? Yes, I believe we are. You know, where we're going to end up at the end of the year is anybody's guess. But I like our team. I like our depth. We get JVR back. You know, our young players, that's the one thing, having a young players on your team, you can be a lot better in January, February than you are in October. So if we're, you know, average age of 28 or 30 years old, you kind of look and you go, well, we don't have a whole lot of upside here. But when you look at our young guys who could and should get better, We should get better as the year goes along.
Last question for Ron Hextall, Flyers GM. Ron, when you look at the situation you've been, you talked about the draft and develop approach that you guys have been in. It's a patient approach. You had to clean up some cap issues that you have. You've seemingly done a good job with that. You have cap space. Are you in a different, for lack of a better term, headspace now that when you see a need, if something should arise, a player available, and maybe a guy that's on an expiring contract in another situation. I have a few guys in mind. I won't bring them up to you because I know you won't comment on them. But are you in a different headspace of aggression now to help this team take the next step by adding players?
Well, our team's going to dictate that to some degree. Like the trade deadline, we'll see where we're at. But, you know, we've as I mentioned earlier, we get a lot of good young players in the next year or two that are going to be pushing to be in our lineup. So you got to be careful not to clog it up too much. I mean, if we can find a difference maker long term, yeah, we're going to look at that for sure. But to say we're going to look for, you know, 9 to 12, 13 forwards, number 9, what I mean is those types of guys, we have those from within that are young players on entry-level deals that we don't want to box out. So, but if we can find a difference maker at any position, yeah, we'll absolutely.
Are you still opposed to a rental?
Well, we'll see
if the situation should arise.
We'll see how our guys are playing. We'll see what our needs are.
Yeah.
We're not going to acquire a rental if he's going to be pushed out of our lineup or pushed out of our top nine, and all of a sudden you give up a young piece for a guy that is a depth piece. I don't see us doing that, but like I said, if we can find a difference maker, that's something we'd certainly look at.
Well, the guy I was thinking of, where's the number 9? Anyway, Ron, thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. Best of luck down the road here, and we appreciate you taking the time today.
All right. Been a pleasure.
There he is, Ron Hextall.